It always comes round so quickly, Jane thought to herself as she shuffled past the ridiculously large Christmas tree. It looked as though a character from a pantomime had spilled a magic bean in the middle of the hallway. Jane had her back against the wall and arms splayed out to avoid the prickly branches as she inched her way from the kitchen to the stairs. This year, as every year, the tree had been decorated with a tasteful blend of tinsel which was so old that if it ever so much as looked at a match would become a living river of flame. Expensive and delicate ornaments, individually plucked from boutiques spanning the four corners of the globe, and a vast array of decorations made in moments of idle fancy by children in various degrees of maturity over a 40-year period. In short, the Christmas tree was both a family heirloom and a higgledy-piggledy tour through the boredom of school holidays, as seen through the bizarre medium of faded paper with bits of coloured plastic and feathers stuck to it. As Jane approached the stairs, a tea towel she had tucked in the waistband of her trousers, for one never knew precisely when a tea towel could be called into service, snagged on a low branch. The next moment, Jane's left leg became entwined in a loop of highly flammable tinsel. The merest jiffy after that, one of her earrings snagged on a very old glass tree decoration. Having endured a successful hip replacement several years previously, it meant that Jane's lower body motor functions now took on a superhuman capacity. She was able on a good day to push a supermarket trolley filled with densely patterned silk damask uphill into a headwind whilst dragging a wheelchair-bound pensioner without breaking into a sweat. The net effect was that Jane was 5 steps up the staircase before she noticed the tree pirouetting in a most unnatural fashion. She gingerly stepped back to try to release herself, but the rotation the tree had already suffered made it unstable and it lurched forward. Fearing for the safety of the decorations, precious and tatty homemade ones alike, but above all the mess it would make, Jane stepped back to her original position. She had a fail-safe plan for recovery. "Sean!" she cried up the stairs, paralysed with fear, as the tree began to twitch in an agitated manner. She paused 1 or 2 heartbeats, then started the call again. "Sure!" Oh, she broke off suddenly, seeing her husband looming at the top of the stairs 2 stories up, singing to himself and fiddling with a bow tie. "Sean, come here and sort this damn tree out!" "Do, do, 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 do," Sean sang, still looking in the mirror. "Sean, I'm stuck here!" came the plaintive cry. All right, Gordon Bennett, can't a man have any peace on Christmas Day?" he said, beginning his descent. With a hum and a wiggle in his step, he muttered, "Peace on earth to all men, except in this bloody house." The tree made another lurching movement. Desperately improvising, Jane tried to grab some of the baubles on the tree, thinking that, somehow, would support the weight of the whole tree if it were to return to its horizontal felled state in the middle of the house. Having descended 1 flight of stairs in the time of one of the longer ice ages, Sean bumped into Olivia, who was leaving her room. "Dad, can you do me up?" she said, holding up the ends of a necklace which was already dangling around her neck. "By way of a..." "Yes, I'd be delighted." Sean paused his doo-doo-dooing and took up the proffered clasps before resuming his generously embellished version of Bach's Sleepers Awake. "Sean, come here now! Stop buggering about!" Looking over his shoulder, he saw the contorted body of Jane with 7 baubles in one hand and a roll of wrapping paper in the other, trying, largely unsuccessfully, to keep the Christmas tree upright. She had wrapped her previously unhindered arm around a banister pole and was bracing her free leg against the wall to keep the tension in the tree. The tree was now vibrating vigorously because of Jane's muscle fatigue, so that they both looked like an epileptic maypole. Sean dashed down the stairs, followed closely by Olivia, who had a red shoe on her left foot and a fluffy slipper on her right. Sean reached Jane, who by this time had tears glistening in her eyes with the strain of resisting the elastic potential energy stored in the contorted tree. He clambered over the array of limbs like a man with purpose. However, when he was halfway over, he forgot that purpose and used the situation as a way to steal a sly kiss, which he did. He then looked soppily at his wife with a big, open-mouthed, cheeky smile. Jane's fury would have instantly been poured all over Sean, leaving a terrible mark on the carpet, had a click and a flash of light not distracted her. The two entwined parents looked at the source of the flash to see their daughter give them an impish grin. "I couldn't resist it," Olivia said. "I even managed to get the tree in the picture." Sean prided himself on knowing when to make a good exit and took the hiatus as his cue. In a matter of seconds, he had rigged up a pulley system from candy canes, less expensive decorations, and some scraps of the better quality tinsel from the tree. He pulled off several chocolate decorations to use in his contraption, but just ate them. "Olivia," he said, taking charge of the quaking tree that now looked like a green volcano ready to explode. "Yes, Dad?" she said sweetly, taking another snap for the family album. "Put that camera down. Go up to the next level and hold the top of the tree." "Okay," she said despondently, as if hoping to watch the sports from a front row seat. "Assume brace position," bellowed Sean, a little melodramatically. "On three, everybody push. One, two." "Shawnee, what am I doing again?" "Jane, you've got to hold still." "Oh, right, fine. One, two." "Olivia, did you pick up the wrapping paper?" "Jane, I'm trying to..." "Mum, I haven't had time. I had to do my hair." "Jane, are we going to sort this tree out or not?" Sean said, slightly relaxing his grip on the candy canes. With that, the remains of the tea towel left Jane's waistband, the tinsel whipped from around her arm, the decoration loosed from her earring, and the tree whirled around like it was possessed with the spirit of Rudolf Nureyev. For the briefest of moments, the sight had a magical beauty, and all that beheld it were awestruck. Then the tree stopped its spin, gave a shudder, a shimmy, and a sigh. Then every last needle cascaded onto the floor. A second after that, there was a pop, and the fairy lights went out, leaving the three family members and a naked tree in semi-darkness. Out of the darkness, Sean laughed the words, "Well, at least it didn't catch fire." Slowly, all three of them began to chuckle about the scene. Olivia made her way downstairs and noticed there was a flickering orange glow from the back of the tree. At just that moment, Jane stopped laughing and said, "Can you smell burning?"